Welcome to Breaking Form, a podcast of poetry and culture. I'm Aaron Smith.
And I am James Allen Hall. For those listening for the first time,
we do literary games.
We revisit books that we love.
We gossip.
We do. We interview.
We shade.
We laugh.
And we are not for everyone. Mm-mm. Hey, James Allen Hall, how do you spell zhuzh?
Oh my God. I looked this up for show notes before, and I think it's not really a word, right? But like,
how do you look something? I always said that if you didn't know how to spell something, a teacher would be like, look it up. I'm like, but if I don't know how to spell it, how do I look it up?
How would I look it up, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No idea. Do you know how?
Nope. I was just curious, but that leads us into today's show. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about what we're doing?
Yes. Well,
on the Price is Right.
So I'm obsessed with Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and always have been. And I find it problematic at the same time, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh, the queers are like the resource for straight people to get mm-hmm. better, you know?
Yep. They are being paid for their time.
We are, right, exactly. Show, and there's in the new season, the new show, the rebooted show, there's a lot of queer people as well that they help, which is nice. Mm. And also, it's kind of cool to be seen as an expert and that our, like, you know, uses in or our talents for design and hair and beauty, makeup, like all that's like
the things that really matter in life.
Yeah. And like your emotional spirit, you know, like because they do that too. Yeah.
I always thought in the first season, the guy who took care of like culture or something was stupid. I thought his was the most pointless that we could see the link. He's going to have you listen to songs or something. I don't know. I thought this was so dumb.
Okay. Like listen to like a prayer and when you're done, get back to me.
Yeah. That's what I felt like. It was stupid. Yeah.
Heart of stone. See ya. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I thought maybe we'd try to do the poetic version. So we get some poems by some really, really boring straight white whale some boring poems by straight white cis male poets. Boring for me. I mean, I picked these poems, so I find that they're boring, even though they have lovely moments. And these are poets that are like some of our best poets, right?
I actually like the first poems.
Yeah,
and maybe
sure.
It's because my mom is dead, but like there's something about it. But if I were going to zhuzh it up, I'm sure I can get some like Mommy Dearest up in there somewhere.
Ooh, that's right.
You know, so
that's right. I will always beat you.
Yeah. You did not put the names on the first two for me. So sitting at night on the front porch, I don't know who wrote it. I mean, I'm sure I know the poet, but I don't know this poem.
And I believe that is a Charles. Yes. Charles Wright.
Oh, okay. So Charles Simic is the last one. And who's the middle poem?
That is Merwin.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So should we start at sitting at night on the front porch? So are we going to read the line and then maybe rewrite them and talk about them? Like maybe read the first stanza?
I think let's read the whole, they're small poems. Read the whole poem and then let's see where we would zhuzh up.
Okay. So I'll read the first one.
Okay.
Sitting at night on the front porch. I'm here on the dark porch. Restyled in my mother's chair, which I love restyled, I have to say.
Restyled well, is great.
Well done. 10:45 and no moon. Below the house, car lights swing down on the canyon floor to the sea. In this, they resemble us, dropping like match flames through the great void under our feet. In this, they resemble her, burning and disappearing. Everyone's gone. And I'm here sizing the dark, saving my mother's seat.
I like the first stanza a lot. I like the last stanza a lot.
Second one fell apart.
It's like in this, we're like the headlights going down to the sea because we're dropping like match flames through the great void under our feet. Like, girl, you got a trap door under your porch.
Well, also, shouldn't you be wearing heels under our Louboutins?
We were restyled in the first stanza and then we just forgot about our stuff and then say the words great void. I don't care when you're writing. You can't get away with great void.
I do like the car lights, the canyon to the sea, but I think it's just the vibe. Like it reminds me of LA. So, but I'm also putting it through like a super gay lens right now. But I feel like if you're going to do the second stanza, you could just describe the stars without telling us all this, without all this exposition. You know,
yeah.
He already says, "In this they resemble us," which I hate that move. For me, that's lazy. That's like, oh, now I've got to move somewhere else in the poem. It's very prompty. And then to say it again, "In this they resemble her." But I do like, "And I'm here sizing the dark, saving my mother's seat." I like that.
Would you switch them? Would you say, "And I'm here saving my mother's seat, sizing the dark"? Do you like that better or worse?
I think I like that move.
Mm.
And I like "everyone's gone" if we didn't have all that drama before it, all that mess, because I feel like it opens the poem up into not just mother, you know, but much bigger.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I will say that I appreciate that prompty move in this, they resemble us. I'm like, okay, girl. All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. We're going to move into the metaphoric, right? And mm-hmm. then the metaphor is kind of weak to me. And then we've got great void. I do like that he brings in this, they resemble her burning and disappearing. I'm like, okay, all right. You almost earn that other move, but not quite. Not quite.
Well, I think it got lost its power because he already said in this, they resemble us. Had yeah. he not, if he would have just gone to like, dropping the match, you know, something, you could have dropped the match and like just even the match could have resembled the mother, you know,
right?
Dropping the match, my mother burning and disappearing, you know, something yeah. that simple could have done that. I agree, the great void under our feet is not, you know,
the best writing
that. Yeah, they yeah. we could zhuzh that up a little bit.
I think,
but also
yeah,
I also thought like if you want to gay it up, it's like restyled in my mother's red velvet chair. It's 2 a.m. I'm home from the bar and there is no moon.
You girl, you just Grey Gardens the shit out of that. Yeah,
below the house, tricks stumble out into cars and their lights go on the canyon floor to the sea. In this, they resemble us.
Yes, there we get ma'am.
Get some gayness. I drop the cigarette flame, you know, the cigarette ash. Then I think it would be funny into the gray void under my seat. That'd be funny then.
Yeah, it would be, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it burns and disappears like, you know, like it's like the gonorrhea last week. Everyone is gone and I'm here sizzling in the dark.
Ooh, instead of sizing the
yeah,
dark.
Thinking about someone up in my seat.
Oh, and then we just put the title would become "The Great Sizzler Sits at Night on the Front Porch."
We could leave the mother out and I'm here sizzling in the dark.
I kind of do love sizzling yeah. in the dark. Yeah.
So I thought we were going to gay it up in that way.
What does gay it up mean, right?
Well, I'm using it in just the really yeah. silly, slippery, you know, old thing. Yeah.
This also comes from a great tradition in our lives of translating ourselves into straight experiences, or especially like song lyrics. So I used to like, I remember there was a time in my life I would not say the word straight. Mm-hmm. Like if I were like co-piloting.
Less people think you are.
No, I just was like, I'm not letting that word into my reality.
Are you somebody then who was somebody say go straight? Don't you mean gaily forward?
I said gaily forward.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, to the point where my friends would be giving me directions in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And if they said straight, I just couldn't hear it. Literally.
I actually had friends who just also switched and started saying gaily forward, even straight friends. Just go gaily forward here.
Just go gaily. Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Just... One time I was like turning. My friend Alicia was like, straight, forward.
Forward's okay. If you don't want to be a little gay for a moment. Yeah.
And then I heard her, but she's like literally in my ear screaming. And I just did not. I couldn't hear. I just blocked it out.
Yeah. You're like, I don't get your channel.
Yeah. So like Paula Abdul's song became "Gay Up Now Tell Me."
That's fun though.
That was fun. It was yeah. fun, right? So this is yeah. sort of the tradition. This tongue in cheek, tongue in Charles Simich's cheek, kind of fun.
Tongue in cheeks.
Ooh. Speaking of bad language, bad words, here's a poem called "Language" by William Stanley Merwin. Is that his name? Did I make that up?
It's like, sure.
Here's his poem language. Certain words now in our knowledge we will not use again, and we will never forget them. We need them, like the back of the picture, like our marrow and the color in our veins. We shine the lantern of our sleep on them to make sure, and there they are, trembling already for the day of witness. They will be buried with us and rise with the rest.
Is this like a Trump propaganda ad? Or it's like certain words, we're going to keep them inside of us because we're old white men and you can't take that away from us.
And at the end, like it's giving me he is risen vibes, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like we need them like the back of the picture, like our marrow. Like, oh, marrow is a little selling it.
To go from like, oh, who's in this fucking picture to, oh, it's like our bones. Mm, that's a big leap.
And the color in our veins. Like, well, what color is it? You know?
Yeah. Ooh, grumpy. Fuchsia in mine. What's in yours?
Something glittery. That's all I know. You pick glitter, glitter, glitter. Yeah. Like I was like certain words now in our knowledge we will not use again. Skank. Girl. We will never, or we will use again and again. Skank. Fuck
love
face.
That. Yeah.
Girl. And yeah. We will never forget them.
Ass pussy.
Yes, we need them. Yes, like the back and front of a selfie picture that we sent with our legs akimbo.
It's part of the problem of the picture is this we is really nebulous, and then the verbs get nebulous, and then the nouns are kind of nebulous, and it's just a forgettable poem, I think.
I feel like the first person plural is mansplaining. It's like totally. we, and I hate that move. It's like, quit trying to be the great speaker for everybody. We got our own. Just talk, you know?
Yeah. There's something kind of, I love a poem that risks sentimentality. We shine the lantern of our sleep on them. It's like, so we dream about the words. Oh, and there they are, trembling already for the day of witness, trembling and witness together. It's a lot in the same sentence.
I think it should be the disco light sleeps on them. The disco ball sleeps on them like James Allen Hall's balls on a face.
Like in the previous poem, like the lights swinging down, it's like it would be better if the lights swung down like a pendulous set of balls, right? It would be, no, it would not be better.
And then the day of witness, I don't like. Mm-mm.
Day of witness is bad too, right?
I wish it ended with the light shining on them. If we're going to have light, lantern is like, oh, I didn't know we were a pilgrim. Like it's just, I don't believe that, you know? The poem's not honest.
It doesn't feel like there's an emotional center at it, right? Like, what's at stake?
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe that when you get quiet, that this is what you think of language. I just don't believe it.
I also think, I mean, I really like they will be buried with us, but I think I might want to, if I was going to revise this, if I were going to zhuzh it, I might want to switch it to we will be buried with them. Like the words then are the sort of great comfort in the internal beyond or something. I like that a little bit better. I hate the rise with the rest. I just, it gets me in my religious trauma.
I don't like in rise with the rest either.
Yeah. No, cut that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or if we're going to do something like, it's just so sincere through the whole thing that I would love a little bit of like tension in the tone. It's interesting. Like, yeah. So when I copied this to a Word document, it became a prose poem. It was really long lines, and so I was like, oh wait, this is a prose poem,
because I was reading it as a prose poem.
Yeah.
Was it not originally written as a prose poem?
It just had long lines, and so I wasn't sure. So when I copy and paste from that website, it's the Poetry Foundation website, it preserves the line break, so this one didn't, so I think it must be a prose poem.
Okay. I'm not into this one. I could see this being like a reminder to himself and like talking about how much he loves language. But as far as moving into a space that interests that I find urgent, I just don't quite see it. It sounds like it's like one of those things that's like pretty, which it tries to be pretty and that makes it deep, but it doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I would love if we were really going to like gay this up, right? Mm-hmm. If we were queer eyeing this, we really would have to start with like, okay, what's urgent about language to you? What's mm-hmm. like, what are you trying to communicate that feels like you're being held back? There's something in Merwin, and I don't find Merwin has better poems than this, but there's something in Merwin that I never find. And I always find it in poets like Sylvia Plath or Emily Dickinson, where there's this like this push against the envelope of don't say this, don't say that. And they do, they like transgress that. There's nothing really transgressive in Merwin.
Well, but even if you don't want to transgress, there's still urgency. And I think of a poet like Mark Strand. In my head, he and Merwin are really similar. And I feel like Strand finds urgency. I'm not saying every poem of his always succeeds, but I really like so much of his work. Like when I find a poem, you know, so I don't think you always have to be writing at the bone of content and sometimes form even, but I think you have to, if you're going to hold forth and you're going to say it large like this, I think it just has to rise somewhere. It has to rise in language. It has to arrive in a certain, like getting me to believe it. And just also raise the stakes as far as interest, just language. Well, what if I just reject your premise? What if I reject what you're saying? Like, there's nothing that's holding me in other than your idea.
Yeah. There's nothing. Well, there is stuff of the world, but.
But it's still his idea. And like our marrow and the color in our veins. I'm like, that doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Color in our veins. Like, it's fine. Marrow.
But they're redundant. They're the same.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, and I'm just not, all I think about is that little kid shit where they say blood's blue until it hits the surface. Like it doesn't even, I wish it would take that out of my head because I'm like, that weird kid thing. You know, like, did you know your blood is blue until it hits oxygen? Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's all I can think of. So.
Well, here's a poem by Charles Simmons called My Shoes. And listen, he's starting off gangbusters. In terms of gang it up.
I always thought it was Simic. Isn't that funny?
I've heard Simic and Simich. How about you? You want to read this one?
Sure.
Great.
Shoes, secret face of my inner life. Two gaping, toothless mouths. Glory hole. Two partly decomposed animal skins smelling of mice ass. Sorry, mice nest. My brother and sister who died at birth, continuing their existence in you. Guiding my life toward their incomprehensible innocence. What use are books to me when in you it is possible to read the gospel of my life on earth? That's a big stretch. It keeps going.
Yeah, it keeps going.
Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry. The gospel of my life on earth and still beyond of things to come. I want to proclaim the religion I have devised from your perfect humility and the strange church I am building with you as the altar, ascetic and maternal, you endure, kin to oxen, to saints, to condemned men, with your mute patience forming the only true likeness of myself. It's a lot for me. I mean, I have loved a shoe.
I have loved a shoe.
I have loved a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
So the devotion, I will say, is I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. This poem has like a brother and a sister who died at birth. Like it has like some gravitas to it, a real subject matter, right?
They feel thrown in just to make the gravitas. They don't feel like essential. And I know there are people who love him and are going to be pissed off and like, whatever, you know, you love things you know, we love things that you don't love.
Yeah. But
I do feel like some of his project is to take the mundane and transform it, you know,
which is
like
great.
The famous poem Fork, I believe it's called Fork. Like he has those kinds of poems, but this one, I thought like, what use are you to me when in you it is possible to read my life? Like that's where I think it should have ended. I'm not saying I would have loved it, but and still beyond of things to come, religion, humility, building with you as altar, ascetic. That's when I was like, I didn't need to read the next page.
There's so much of it toward their incomprehensible innocence, like cut the modifier.
Well, and gaping toothless mouths. I mean, of course, I'm going to make fun of a gaping mouth, but
yeah,
the diction change, like that is not the poem that we get. And I understand poems can take turns and they can switch. But for me, that was not that's the outlier, like that kind of image. And then it starts getting bigger and more serious. Yeah, I don't love this one.
Yeah, no, I love it when a poem takes turns on me, or a group of poems. But you're right, like the sort of whiplash of the tone is mm-hmm. really difficult. And it's not the point of the poem, mm-mm. right?
It's like once I heard a poet give a reading, and I think I've said this one here, and the poem was called The Skunk. And the first thing I was thinking, please don't start with the smell.
Oh, wow.
And the first thing he says was the smell. That's the first thing he said. And that's what I feel like shoes, two gaping tooth. Like we have, like immediately it's like, it has to be what the shoe looks like. What if it was called The Shoes? My brother and sister died at birth. Continue my existence in you. Like that, I'd be like, okay, now the shoe's already elevated for me. But yeah. Instead, we're winding up shoes, secret face of an inner life. We have to have the statement. And then and then two partly decomposed animal skins, which I don't really believe. But if you cut the tooth mouth, I might like that more. So mm-hmm. I just think that they're, you know, I don't know. I guess we're workshopping Charles Simic.
Yeah. And I don't mind, like, this basically we are workshopping. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any poet is beyond reading deeply and carefully and some critique, right? Mm-hmm. But these poets are no longer composing poems, mm-hmm. from what I understand.
They're working at gas stations.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, well, two of them are dead. Mm-hmm. And one I think has stopped writing poems. What size shoe are you, Aaron?
A 10.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
Well, yeah.
My boyfriend says that he's a 9.5. Oh, and I'm like, that's impossible. Like, there's not enough 9.5 shoes. You're like a 10. Like, there's no way. Like, I mean, sure, every now and then you're good a chance into a 9.5, but you have to be a 10. Like, I just always question him, like, really, you're 9.5? There's just not enough 9.5s.
Mm. Well, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, this poem would be a lot better with your boyfriend's feet all over it.
With his 9.5 all over it.
The only true likeness of myself, if I met this poem, I'd be like, girl, are you being serious?
It's like the gay guy in the bar who comes over and criticizes you for having a cigarette. And it's like the first cigarette you've had, like, smoking's so bad for you. Oh my God, really? Thanks for telling me. You know, that's what this poem
is. Yeah. You just take a deep breath, inhale your cigarette, blow it out in his face and say, no, now it's bad for you.
Did that actually? Thelma and Louise. I just blew it right in his face.
Me too.
But also, kin to oxen, to saints, to condemned men. It's like, I think now it's like, really, you're going to compare your shoes and you're going to have condemned men in there?
I've condemned many a man for their shoe.
Yeah, but I, you know what I mean. I think he does.
I do. No,
like,
it's just
men condemned to death, and it's like, oh, but your shoes. Yeah.
The thing I love. I don't love Charles Simic's work,
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Although of these three, I like his work the best because there are in his other poems, like these really big leaps and mm-hmm. the language is always really interesting. And this one is just like, just doesn't get there. It uses the sacred, the language of the sacred and holy to sort of lift up, you know, a mundane thing, and mm-hmm. it just doesn't feel like it's earned.
Leaving these poems, the only thing that's going to stick with me is Restyled in My Mother's Chair.
Restyled in My Mother's Chair is mm-hmm. pretty fucking great, right? Like, girl, get your blowout.
And I don't mind The Quiet House, The Moon, 1045, The Car. Like, I like all of that. Like,
I like Sizing the Dark. I really like Sizing the Dark a lot. I think that's a great clause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there are things in that one that stick with me. That's probably my favorite of them, even though when I read it, I really could hear how the second stanza just didn't. It kind of got globby, kind of got liquidy. And
yeah. Wright who stopped writing. I'm sorry. Charles Simic is dead. But, you know, mm-hmm. like, yeah. Yeah. Maybe if these boys keep writing, maybe then finally they'll get
yeah. somewhere. Keep practicing, keep right on doing that, you'll be okay. Yes, you will, with your Pulitzers.
Paula Abdul, clap for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, with your Pulitzers.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, I think all three of these guys have Pulitzers.
Oh, do they, all three?
I believe that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably National Book Award, at least a nomination or something.
Many. And I'm not by any means saying that I am impervious to learning something from their work, their poems. I just thought it'd be fun to give some gay zhuzh to some straight boys.
Some gay shade, actually. I feel like.
It's, you know what? If there's maybe there's some shade, but I mm-hmm. think it was also like, I just want poems to be. I love poems so much. I just want them to be memorable.
Well, I have completely unmemorable poems. Like, I know that. And I have learned from all three of these poets. So, you know, yeah. I can deal with it. There's people who will literally obviously never read my work and will celebrate these men for generations. So, you know, fine.
Homophobia.
Mm-hmm. They should be able to stand up to a little critical weight. So
there you go. Yeah. I don't think we're harming their book sales.
Anyway. No. Well, maybe we're uneducated, but we're not harming them. After breaking form, for some reason, the cells of Simic, Wright, and Merwin just went down the toilet. Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the Gay Fact Check.
We are raw dogging when it comes to sound. We both just said no, like you forgot your recording equipment. And I thought, well, in solidarity, I'm not getting mine either. So
solidarity. That's right. I'm so sorry for this, everybody. But yeah, my equipment's at my boyfriend's house tonight.
That sounds so dirty. My equipment's at my boyfriend's house. my heart's in West Virginia and my hole's in Maryland.
It's healing. All right. Oh, so God. Listen, I found how to spell zhuzh. It is Z-H-U-Z-H.
Mm.
And the word is Polari. It comes to us from Polari, the gay language.
Which you used to write in when you were at Houston and refused to translate for anyone.
That's right. And I got read for filth from Ed Hirsch.
And I looked up the poem that I reference by Charles Simic is Fork. Yeah, we can link to that. I think it's on the Poetry Foundation website. And it is William Stanley Merwin.
Isn't that amazing? I remembered that.
And he's kind of sexy in his older photos.
I mean, total Marlboro man, right?
Yeah, like in the older photos. So,
You just want him to put his cigarette out on your hole, you know?
Right on it, on my taint. Use my taint as an ashtray, William Stanley.
That's why he won the Pulitzer 2 times.
Really? Did he win the National Book Award also, or a finalist, or...
He, in fact, did. He received the Pulitzer Prize in 1971 and in 2009, and he won the National Book Award for Poetry in 2005. Charles Wright is the crazy one because he was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize 4 times before he won in 1998. Charles Wright shared his National Book Award. So he won with Galway Canal, both for like selected poems. And Charles Simic, I say that they all won Pulitzers. Charles Simic won Pulitzer for poetry in 1990.
I had to make some decisions as I'm putting the books up in my house, and I had all of Charles Wright's books in my hand. I went ahead and put them on the shelf. I didn't put them in storage. I don't know why. Maybe I just was curious. So will I read them? Probably not, but I feel like they should be on my shelf. So.
Well, good for you for being curious.
Yeah, I mean, I've dabbled in them. You know, it's like heterosexuality.
Exactly. Oh my God.
I dabbled one time. I got drunk and had a heterosexual experience.
The next time I see you, I'm going to smell your fingers.
Oh God. That's so ridiculous. It'll smell like Marshall Hall.
I'm going to start calling you daddy.
Am I allowed to leave this in?
Yeah. Oh my God.
This is what happens when you don't have microphones. This is it. You feel like you're off record.
I know. We don't have the phallus in front of us.
We don't have the pacifier dicks in our face. Yeah.
That's why we started the podcast.
So we could hold.
big cocks in our face and talking to them. Like, we didn't have enough of that in our life.
The world doesn't end, Aaron Smith. So Charles Wright, I said that he stopped writing. He really has. He says in interviews anyway that he has stopped writing. So I looked at two different interviews that I'll link to in the show notes. The last thing I want to say is that Jay Rodriguez was the original culture vulture. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Insufferable.
You hated him.
I hated that whole fucking show. I fucking hate it. I thought it was ridiculous.
I was obsessed, of course.
Ugh. People would cry. I'm like, I'm crying because I'm so, it's so bad. Yeah. It's
really funny. Very, I mean, just really centered straight people in a weird way.
I just remember Carson Kressley was like on Oprah maybe. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how he hadn't come out to his parents. I'm like, she's a full lame. Oprah's like, really? He's like, they don't know? Like, I'm not kidding. It's like you saying, like, nobody knows that I'm gay. It's like, you know, what?
Are they asking him walk away from something, anything?
Not seeing his blazers, you know?
He still wears those.
Yeah, you might be able to find a link to that interview where Oprah is like, I think it's Oprah. I mean, maybe the show's that old, but yeah, because it would have come out when Oprah still had a show. She had one up into the 2000s.
Well, if I can, I will put it in show notes.
Hey, everyone. If you enjoyed today's Breaking Form, review us with 5 stars on Apple. Please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Breaking Form Pod. And we'd love it if you'd support us by buying our books. Links are in the show notes. And remember, we're not for everyone. Girl, get your blowout.